Welcome to the Church Podcast, talking all things ministry to help you do church better. I'm your co-host, John Rinaldo, and I am joined here by Mr. Chris Wesley.
Woot woot. How is it going, John Rinaldo?
How good, man. How are you?
I'm doing well. I'm actually feeling good. Lots of energy, feeling nice. But loving this fall weather that we have. You know, can't complain. So life's good.
Good. Glad to hear that. Well, I'm excited about today's topic, Chris, because you had an experience recently at a conference that you were at talking about this very thing. Today, we're going to talk about volunteer burnout.
Bum, bum, bum.
Bum, bum, bum is right. And, you know, sometimes we spend a lot of energy thinking about our own burnout, right? So we're a professional staff member, we're a clergy, we're whatnot, you know, and we burn out. Why? Because, well, we give a lot of time and energy to the church because we're passionate about it. We love what we do, obviously. And so that's a good thing and a bad thing. But we don't often talk about our volunteers and if our volunteers are getting burned out. So Chris, tell us a little bit about the experience you had a couple of weeks ago at a conference you were at.
So I was invited to come out and speak to the Diocese of Fresno's Congress, Catholic Congress. So shout out to everyone in Fresno Diocese. And what was kind of funny is I gave two talks. I gave the same talk twice on taking care of yourself, self-care for those of us in spiritual leadership, which is kind of ironic because I spoke for 8 times in 24 hours at this conference going from coast to coast. So I felt a little bit like a hypocrite, but you know, it's through that humility that God really spoke. So anyway, the first time I spoke about it was just kind of around at dinner with a bunch of youth workers and everything. It was really good. The second time, something kind of profound happened where I'm speaking and, you know, I said to people, you know, I asked people how many of them were full-time paid youth workers and then how many were full-time volunteer youth workers and, or volunteers just in general. And like 80% of the room raised their hand for volunteers. And I asked, well, how many of you guys are the volunteer lead? Meaning, you know, you aren't paid for this, but the pastor has assigned you as the man or the woman to run the ministry. And actually only like 10% of them raised their hand. The rest of it was just filled with volunteers, people who are assisting a full-time or a part-time person, which part of me wanted to be like, well, where are your full-time and part-time people? Why aren't they at this workshop? But that's a whole nother conversation for another time. The thing that struck me, I was like, man, I can't believe how many of these volunteers are burned out. And then I started to think about myself because I like to think about myself, but no, I'm just kidding. Like, I started to think about myself because something a lot of people don't know is I'm a volunteer in a prison ministry on the side. So once a week I go in for about 2 hours, hour and a half, to meet with young men, who are in the Baltimore County Detention Center. And really what's kind of interesting is I reflected on my own burnout as a volunteer. And I think sometimes as youth workers or DREs or just church workers, we look at our volunteers and we're so thankful for the amount of work that they put in, but we forget about the amount of wear and tear and sacrifice that can put on them and how we can actually do damage, you know, to some of our volunteers if we're not helping them take care of themselves spiritually, which sounds so odd to think about because at the same time, we're fighting to try to get so many volunteers in our parish because we know that we as staff can't do it on our own. But I guess what we're kind of talking about today and what I was witnessing at this conference were more of your mega volunteers, your men and women who you don't really have to ask them twice. They're going to say yes. They're going to serve. They're going to get involved. But how do we make sure that we don't, A, burn them out, and B, harm the relationship that they have with Jesus Christ and their Catholic faith? Mm-hmm. So that kind of thought emerged. I wrote a blog about it that we can link to in the notes. Just basically, how do we avoid burning out volunteers? So John, kind of throw a question back at you. Have you ever like felt that burnout as a volunteer before? Have you ever had that volunteer experience where you just feel like you're depleted?
Yes, I have. It's been few and far between, mostly because I have been very serious about my self-care for a long, long time. And so I'm fortunate that I feel like I have taken ownership over that and have walked away from experiences that would cause me to burn out or to just do too much. So yes, I have, but I've been very intentional about my own self-care. And same thing is for me as on a staff, because I've been, you know, staff in ministry for over 18 years now. And it's been the same thing, being really intentional about days off, being real intentional about just taking time away, working out, whatever, you know, prayer time, that's something I do. So not as often, but I know that that's not necessarily the reality for everybody else. So Chris, tell me a little bit about what are some of the things that you ended up talking about with this group of volunteers who were burned out? Did you give them strategies? What were some of the things that they walked away with after listening to you chat with them?
Yeah, so one of the things, and I think this kind of inspired some of them to really, you know, raise their hand and say like, hey, listen, I'm a volunteer and I'm feeling like I'm burning out, is I talked about the importance of recognizing the fact that even though you are serving in a ministry and specifically in youth ministry, right? If I'm a small group leader and I'm preparing for my small group and I'm reading a Bible passage, right? That's me not growing necessarily in my own individual faith group. So it's kind of more of a work in that aspect. And so one of the first points I gave them was make sure that you recognize the difference between your own spiritual journey, you know, sharpening your own spiritual journey and, you know, preparing for a volunteer or a work opportunity. And know that there is a huge difference to that. Know that while you're praying with your small group, that that's not the only time you should be praying, right? That praying as a volunteer, you know, in the youth ministry or children's ministry, isn't the only time that like you should be praying. You should be focused on your own spiritual journey right there, and that you need to practice self-care. So that was one thing that I gave. The second thing is I said, you need to be able to have clear expectations on what is expected of you as a volunteer and what you need to be clear on what you can actually give. So for volunteers, just like we say with youth workers or DREs or other employees, that you really need to sit down and say like, okay, what are your expectations of what I do? What can I get a job description of my responsibilities? And before you ask me or expect me to do those things, let's have a conversation so that we're all on the same page.
So one of the things that I forget as a staff member in a parish or a diocese is that the people that are volunteering for me have full-time jobs elsewhere, and they've got families to take care of, and they have all these other things. And it's easy for me to forget that because I'm entrenched in this ministry all the time. You know, and so I have to remember as a staff person the reality of what volunteers can and can't do, that they're going to be limited. Yes, we are dependent on volunteers. We need volunteers to do a lot of stuff, but it's got to be realistic. And we have to ask the question too, Chris, don't you think, of, you know, what's possible and what's not? I often say when I'm especially speaking with youth ministry leaders, coordinators and directors of youth ministry, I said, your job as the director or coordinator is to minister to the team, T-E-A-M, and it's your team's job to minister to the teams, T-E-E-E-E-N-S. I clearly can't.
There's only two E's in that, by the way. If people
I realized I did three E's, so I said, well, let me just add a few more.
John Ronaldo did not watch Sesame Street growing up.
I guess not. I guess not. So anyways, so I have to remember that as a staff member, and that I also have to remember my focus has to be on my volunteers so that my volunteers can spend that energy on whoever they're ministering to, whatever their audience
is. Yeah. Yeah, I think another thing we have to take into effect is the fact that our volunteers give up a lot more than we see. You know, like you might ask them to serve an hour on Sunday or 2 hours, you know, on a weeknight. And even if they're serving at Mass, where you're just kind of like, oh, they're serving at Mass, you know, they're going to go to Mass anyway, like what's the big deal? They might be sacrificing time with family, because if I'm a you know, Eucharistic minister. And I know this personally, right? When I'm a Eucharistic minister at Mass, that's a time I'm giving up to go up with my family to receive communion as a family, because I'm going to be administering that to other people. Now that's not that huge of a deal, but it's a little bit of a sacrifice there. In children's ministry or youth ministry, I'm giving up 2 hours of my week, you know, 2 hours of spending with my spouse or my kids or whatever it might be, to be at the youth ministry. That's just time. If it's outside of the Mass and wouldn't be coming anyway, I'm giving up, you know, time in the car to get there. I'm spending gas money. I'm putting wear and tear on my, on my car. I'm rearranging other things in my life. If it's a weeknight and I'm coming to a meeting, I might need to get a babysitter for my kids. I need to figure out food, not just for myself, but for my kids. You know, who's making dinner? You know, there's all these different arrangements. So to show up and go to a meeting, and I know we've talked about this before with meetings, and that meeting stinks, or I'm walking away hangry because there was no food there and the meeting stunk, then of course I'm never going to show up to a meeting again, you know, and of course it's going to jade my experience and build resentment towards you intentionally or unintentionally. And that can be really hard. And I think what we really have to focus on is and this would be the next part. And I said this to the volunteers too, recognize how much you're sacrificing to give, you know, to how much you're sacrificing to serve. And it's not that the church necessarily owes you, like, don't go in with that mentality, but like, just at least know like the cost of serving, because, you know, you might be thinking you're doing God's work, which you are, but at what cost? Like, is it impacting your marriage? Is it impacting your kids? Is it impacting your budget? Because if it's doing that in a negative way, God doesn't want that. God doesn't want you to be depleted. God wants you to serve out of joy and abundance.
Yeah, totally agree. And I think let's take a look at this in two different lenses here then. You know, first of all, it's from the volunteers. We definitely have volunteers who listen to this podcast, right? And so let's share some best practices of what can volunteers do, you know, to avoid burnout. And then the second piece of this, what can we as full-time staff members who have volunteers do to avoid our volunteers having burnout? So what are some steps that you would recommend for volunteers to do?
Yeah, so with volunteers, I think, you know, one, count the costs. Know how much you're giving up and everything to serve in that. And don't be afraid to count that cost. Don't be afraid to track that time, because you might have to go back and say, like, yeah, how much time am I really giving to the church? How much energy and effort? Because if when you're saying yes to something, you know, you're saying no to someone else, you know, and so make sure you're counting those costs and knowing what's getting shifted and moved around. I think another best practice that volunteer, or another thing for volunteers to note, is that you can quit and there won't be major consequences. Yeah, you might have the pastor a little mad at you, or the youth minister, or the DRE a little disappointed by you, but you can still go to church there. You don't have to worry about, you know, not receiving a paycheck or, you know, any of those other benefits. You're still going to get into heaven probably, but, you know, like, you can quit. But if you do quit, like, make sure that you've taken the steps to have the conversation with the person that you're reporting to. Another best practice is making sure that your spiritual journey comes first, right? So if you serving interferes with you going to mass, interferes with your personal prayer time, takes away from that, then you need to get that in order first before you really start serving, because you can't serve out of empty. If you serve out of empty, it's gonna continue to dive deeper. Another best practice is don't be afraid to read ministry books. If you're listening to this podcast, that's a great step. Listen to podcasts. Listen to get as many free resources out there as possible. Reach out to John and I. You know, if you're a volunteer youth worker, or sorry, just a volunteer in your parish, shoot John and I an email at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. We'll recommend some free resources that we have. We'll try to help you out and everything. But, you know, don't feel like this stuff is inaccessible to you because you're not getting a paycheck or you're not paid to do this. So focus on that professional development. Be a leader who's learning and learning how to grow in that regards. And then I would say lastly, you know, and this might be tough, because I know those of us in paid ministry world struggle with this. Demand a review. Demand a time where you sit down with the youth worker, the pastor, the DRE, to check in and say, this is how things are going. Demand that review and give it, make it an opportunity where you can say, like, you know what, I've given a year, I've given 6 months, I've given 5 years, or whatever it might be. And you know what, I'm going to take the next year off. You have the authority and the right to do that. You're not an indentured servant. Indulgences don't exist anymore in that regards in the church. So God loves you. Jesus loves you. John and I will still love you, even if your pastor or the parish employee is a jerk to you, you know, and do that. So I would say those are best practices that youth workers can do, and encourage one another in it as well. If you see someone else struggling with that, encourage them to do those things as well.
Yeah, that's good. The evaluation, I think, is important, is the best practice for both, right? You encourage a volunteer to make it happen. If you're on staff, you know, you should be doing that yearly with your with your volunteers as well. I just think it's important. And it's, and remember, evaluations, it's about growth. That's what it's about. It's not about like, are you good enough? Or are you bad enough? You know, or should I fire you or whatnot? Although people turn it into those things, that's not the purpose. The purpose is really about growth. So let's grow. And I really love your best practice for volunteers is to read books and look at resources and grow as a leader. Because we would do this, we do the same thing in our own professional career. Why should we not do that as a volunteer for our parish as well? If you want to learn about youth ministry or learn about, you know, best practices for catechetical ministry, things like that, we should be doing that. That's really good. Yeah. Now, Chris, look, the pastor comes up to me and asks me to do something. It's really hard to say no to the pastor. How do you recommend that I say no and not feel guilty for saying no?
So the way you say no is, you know, basically I put the tip of my tongue to the top roof of my mouth and make this a nah, nah, and end with an oh sound. So it's no, that's how you say it. No.
that was good. Love that. Love that.
Sometimes I throw in a hell no because it's biblical. How do you say no to the pastor or someone? You just say like, hey, I'm honored that you asked me. I really do appreciate it. And unless you absolutely know that it's not going to work and it's something you need to discern, say to them, hey, let me think about that and get back to you. Can I get back to you in a week, you know, 2 days, 48 hours, whatever, you know, you pick the time that works for you. You have control at this point because they need something from you. You have control. So say to them, like, let me think about it and then get back to them. And if you end up saying no, you know, they're going to at least say, John takes this seriously. So I know I can talk to him about things and he's going to take my time seriously. You don't want to be that volunteer that says yes and then drops the ball later, because those people, they burn out, you know, pastors and parish employees a lot quicker than you think.
Yeah. Because then
so please don't be those volunteers.
Yeah. Cause we,
if you know right away, right. Yeah. If you know right away that the answer is no, just say, hey, like, again, really honored that you asked me. But at this time in my life, I can't put another thing on my plate. I'll definitely pray for you guys. If I can think of other ways to help you guys, I'll bring that to you. But right now I have to say no. Yeah. And say at this time too, because you also don't want to like dismiss it as if they came to you with a really bizarre messed up idea. You know, be gentle and you can just say at this time, that's just not going to work. And if they're really persistent about it and lay on the guilt and say, oh, but no one's helping me and everything like that, just say like, yeah, you know, I feel you on that. And, I know it's hard and that's why, again, you'll be in my prayers. And if they continue to do that, you know, and everything, you just be like, well, you know what, maybe you got to trust God more, because, God's not going to let you down and God's calling me right now to not be used, you know, in your ministry. So why don't you go shove it? No, just kidding. But like, hopefully it doesn't get.
Oh my goodness, Chris.
Just let. Yeah, I know. Like, don't be sarcastic.
Don't do that.
Be loving. I know I'm not really being helpful right now, but just don't be afraid to say no.
Well, and if I could speak on the guilt piece a little bit, like, yes, guilt is a very Catholic thing. And I think there's a place and time for guilt, and I don't know the theology around guilt or anything like that. I'm not going to go into that. But I think the reality is, in many cases, guilt is not always helpful. And so, look, if you genuinely can't help, don't feel guilty about it, because all it just does is have like low negative energy. You know, that's going to be unhelpful for any of us in the future. And so, I just think guilt is overplayed sometimes, and I think we need to move away from that, because sometimes we have to say no, and you shouldn't feel guilty for that. Look, I have 3 young kids at home right now. I'm saying no to a lot of stuff right now, because it's the phase of life I'm in. I just can't do it. And I don't feel guilty, and nor should you.
Yeah.
So,
and that kind of links to what you were asking before, like those of us employed by the church, how can we not make volunteers feel guilty? And I think that's the whole thing. It's when you ask someone to do something, ask out of opportunity, ask by saying what they're going to get out of it, but not like what is going to happen to you or the church. Like, don't say like, oh, if you don't help me, I'm going to be a total mess, or don't help me. If you don't help me, my marriage is going to fail, or the church is going to close down, or the poor children are going to go to hell. You know, like ask out of opportunity and just say like, hey, if you would love for you to serve, because I believe that you could have such an impact on the lives of so many young people. Or, hey, if you're serving, you enable us to expand the capacity of the things that we want to do. And so what it shows them is that you're asking them to be a part of something bigger. And that's what people are really searching for. And again, it gives them the opportunity, even if they say no to you, they're not going to shut you down and say no right now. They might say no a little bit later. So that's an important thing to think about. Mm-hmm. I think we also have to put into place reviews. We talked about that from the other end. We have to put in job descriptions, so there's clear expectations. We have to budget in professional formation for our volunteers, and not just like, here's a book, you know, read this and learn about youth ministry, but like take them to conferences and workshops and, you know, even retreats, things along those lines. I also think another huge thing that we need to do as youth workers is, and you were saying this before, is focus on the team. And if you are not pastoral by heart, like let's just say you're not a person that like can come alongside of a volunteer and say, hey, how's your life going? You know, tell me about your marriage, your kids. Like, just that's not your makeup. Find men and women who can do that for you. And that might be other volunteers. In fact, there might be volunteers in your parish whose main job is loving on and caring for other volunteers. And if you can do that and create a culture where someone serves and they're like, wow, Chris, John is for me and not necessarily looking for something from me, then it's a win-win situation. And I think, you know, I was talking to a volunteer about this the other day, and she was just thankful. Just if I can brag about myself for a second, she was thankful because she's like, you know, you came on staff here and you really created something where we feel like Chris is for us and not against us. And that it's not all about what can we give, you know, Chris so he can succeed, but what can we give to the church, and what can, you know, what can Chris do for us to make sure that we're enjoying what we're doing. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, whether you're a youth minister, DRE, pastor, you know, things like that, that's what you got to do.
Yeah, I agree. And I think a big burnout piece for volunteers is because they're doing things that they're not good at. They're doing things that they're not gifted in. And mm-hmm. So part of our responsibility as a leader in the church is to understand people's gifts and strengths. What mm-hmm. do they bring to the table? Because those gifts and strengths were given to them by God. So let's put them in those areas and not some other area where they're not going to thrive. Because it's when we get placed in our areas of weaknesses that's when we get burned out super quick. And so take the time to get to know the strengths and gifts of volunteers, and then appropriately invite them to minister in that area of giftedness. I think that's super important and something that I have failed at numerous times, because I had a mold of what I needed for a volunteer, mm-hmm. and you fit that mold or I can't use you. Yeah. We can't think that way anymore, because there are so many great gifts in the church. And I think sometimes the reason more people aren't involved in our parishes is because we haven't done a good job of vetting them, of bringing them out, of inviting them and bringing them to the table. And let me take this opportunity to say, way back at episode 2, we did a podcast on recruiting volunteers, and we talk a little bit about this. And so that may be a fun episode for you to go back to. We'll link that in the show notes as well. But episode 2, I think is a great place for you as a leader to go back and take a look at that one as well.
Definitely. I definitely agree with that. And I think even if you listen to the last 2 episodes where we talk about retreats, and I kind of mentioned this before, plan a retreat for your volunteers. You know, do it, whether it's a day retreat, a mid-year retreat, an end-of-the-year retreat, find a retreat opportunity where they can just spend time resting and reconnecting with God, because, you know, their only opportunity to connect with God might be through your ministry. And if you can, at least through a training, provide that as a retreat opportunity, then that's going to help them go a little bit deeper. Sometimes, you know, we're recruiting people who are already living their lives out of empty, and ministry is that opportunity to fill that. Make sure you're filling that not just with activity, but opportunities for them to grow deeper. And I would say, again, too, if you're a volunteer, If you're feeling on the fringe, if you're feeling like burnt out or worn out, definitely don't be afraid to just tell your pastor or whoever you're reporting to that you need a break, that you and it doesn't have to be like walk away for good. I think that's another like kind of lie that we buy into. You know, if you're genuine and honest about it, say like, hey, I'm just going to take some time away, but I will be back in the new year. I'll be back, you know, after the summer, I'll be back after Christmas, you know, and just don't be afraid to care for yourself and the things that are really important in your life, which is, you know, first your relationship with God. And then secondly, you know, your family and everything else that's personal and meaningful to you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you as a volunteer, step up and lead, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I can speak for myself. I can't speak for every leader in the church, but I want more volunteers who are going to do exactly that, who are going mm-hmm. to be honest with me, who are going to share their thoughts, who are going to step up and say, I need this, or I need that, or here's an area of giftedness for me. I think this is a place that I can serve because of my giftedness. You know, I want that. That's what I want for my volunteers. So don't be afraid to take the lead just because you don't have the title of whatever, of director of faith formation or pastor, doesn't mean that you're not a leader. You are invited into ministry to be a leader based on whatever your role, whatever your ministry is. So take that seriously. And don't be ashamed to step up and speak up. And if you have ideas, if you have better ways of doing things, you know, that's what I want to hear. And I know not every leader is like that. I get that, you know, but that's what I want. And that's what we need in our parishes.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. All right. So if you're a volunteer, we definitely want you to feel like you can reach out to John and I. So shoot us an email at questions@thechurchpodcast.org. And John, maybe you and I can come up with a couple of things we can send out to people, volunteers, of free resources to help them grow spiritually and ministerially. And then if you want to reach out to John, you can do that, especially on Twitter, John Rinaldo. He's also on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and his website's johnrinaldo.com. You can find me, especially at Instagram, Chris R. Wesley, and on Twitter. But you can also find me on Facebook and LinkedIn at Marathon Youth Ministry. And my website is marathonyouthministry.com. But anyway, John, great conversation. Just out to all the volunteers. I know I can speak on your behalf of this. We love you. We are so appreciative of everything that you do give. And for that, we'll close in prayer. And John, will you lead us in prayer where we pray for these volunteers and everyone else in ministry?
Yes. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Loving God, thank you for the gift of our volunteers. Thank you for the gift of your people who step up to serve you in some way, shape, or form, Lord, through our parishes, through our ministries. Thank you. Help us as leaders in the church to take care of our volunteers and know that you are with them always in their service and in their leadership for the church as they want to help others to know Christ in their lives as well. So Lord, be with our volunteers, be with all of us as we continue to serve you and love you.